devotions going back and looking at what we call the Easter story and about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, it's something you can look back over. And and maybe you've seen this, but I found something the other night that I'd never really thought of. I knew it was there, but I'd never put the two together. And it sort of spoke to my heart, and I hope it'll help you tonight as we look at this out of Luke 24. Normally, I would read the scripture, then we'd pray, but I've got a lot of different passages I'm going to. I've got a lot of Bible to give you, and I encourage you to jot some of these down and go back and look and to refresh your mind, and I'll tell you why you need to do that here in just a moment. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's pray, and let's ask God to help us. Father, as we come to you, God, again tonight, we love you. We thank you, Lord, again for the good singing. God, so thankful for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for that mighty gulf that you did span at Calvary many, many years ago. And Lord, as we approach this Easter season, God, we ought to be the happiest crew on planet Earth, Lord, just to know that this is not our final resting place. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd honor your word. Pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight if there's one listening, unsaved, unprepared for eternity. God, may tonight be the night of salvation. I pray that all the will of God be done tonight. Encourage the saints of God. We'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people see him. Amen. Well, Luke 24 is where we'll be in just a second, but I got to read this to you out of Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter number 16. I encourage you just to, and I'm coming right to Luke 24 in just a second. But in Matthew 16, if you'll remember the great question that Jesus asked his disciples over there, whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, well, Elias. Others said, Jeremiah. Of course, Jeremiah the prophet and Isaiah. But he said, whom say ye that I am? Boy, Peter hit the nail on the head. He said, thou art the Christ, the chosen of God. Now, right after Peter had made that statement, that great profession and confession of faith, Jesus began to announce to his disciples and to his people that he was going to be killed, he was going to die, but he was going to rise again the third day. And that's important for you to get this concept and this thought. This is sometime prior to, of course, his crucifixion, right after he had made that great statement of faith, Peter did. The Bible said in Matthew 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Watch this. And be killed and be raised again the third day. Now he told his disciples, he told his followers, Brother Kevin, right out of the gate after, you know, whom say ye that I am? Jeremiah, some say Isaiah, but whom said Peter said, man, thou art the Christ, the chosen of God. And he said, hey, I just want you to know that I will be killed, I will die, but I will rise again the third day. Well, by the time we get to Luke 24, you're going to think, well, man, they got spiritual amnesia. Because they forgot what the Lord Jesus Christ had told them. The Lord had told them, hey, I'm going to be killed and I'm going to rise again. They kept thinking that he was going to be that political figure that would overthrow the Romans and give they would be their king. And he presented himself as king. He sure did on Palm Sunday. But then John said in John chapter 1 and verse 11, and he, Jesus, came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him as Messiah, rejected him as king, rejected him as Savior. But I'm going to here tell you now, he's still the Savior of the world. But what I want you to get is that Jesus said there in Matthew 16 and verse 21, he told his disciples and his followers that he would be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, the Bible says this in Psalm 103 and verse number 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He tells us not to forget. Now, he told his disciples, yet they forgot, as we'll read about in Luke 24, but I just want to build a little foundation right here. We are forgetful people. I looked this up. This may interest you, may not, but I thought about when you think about us being forgetful. Sometimes we think, well, man, I hope I never get to that point, you know, where I can't remember. You know, there's all kinds of diseases. You got dementia, you got Alzheimer's, which is a terrible, terrible disease. But forgetfulness, we are prone to forget things. So much so that they've actually done studies. Actually, our tax dollars paid for it. Can you believe that? You better believe it. Because it did. They do studies. Somebody puts these studies together, and we end up paying it for it. Now, listen, y'all don't get your mind in the gutter before I get into the message, but I got to be careful. I'll be there with you. But there was a study that was done on March the 13th, 2014, about how forgetful people are. It said within 1 hour, people will have forgotten 50% of information you presented. Within 24 hours, people forget an average of 70% of that information. Within a week, over 93% is forgotten. So that leaves less than 7% that you retain. And we know that's true. I mean, you've heard me before sometimes, and I ain't pointing fingers at nobody. Sometimes I'll read a prayer list right here. I mean, from this pulpit, I will read out names, and I'll say, you got any special prayer? And somebody that I just mentioned, somebody says it. Now, either somebody wasn't paying attention, or somebody's already forgot. Didn't even make it 5 minutes without forgetting. But I say that, and it's sort of comical, I guess, but we're forgetful people. Also, in March the 11th, the most updated deal, get this. March the 11th of 2019, now if you're prone to forget, this ought to encourage you. March the 11th, 2019, the University of Toronto. Being forgetful could actually be a sign of greater intelligence. Honest. University of Toronto said this, that being forgetful could actually be a sign of greater intelligence. Remembering valuable information and forgetting the unimportant details and essentially making room for what matters. Now, I say all that to say this. I said that last was so you could get a little bit of a laugh, because they said, man, if you're forgetful, that really shows a greater intelligence, so they say, with that study. But we are forgetful people. We forget things so many times. But ain't it good to know before I even get into Luke chapter 24 that the Lord don't forget? Amen. I'm glad the Lord don't forget. Isaiah 49, verse number 15, the question was asked, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Now, the Lord draws a picture or an analogy of a mother that's got a child. And he says, hey, can a mother forget her child? Well, we've seen that in our day. It certainly can happen. Happens all too often. I mean, even the birds and the animals of the earth, they take care of their young better than some human beings do. We see that all around us. And the Lord asked the question, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. He said, hey, they may forget. So he said, hey, that's going to happen. You would think nature would tell you that the mothers would take care of the child, but he said, yeah, they will forget their children. But then the Lord said, yet will I not forget thee. Now get this, it's been several years ago I preached on this thought about the palms of victory. But in verse number 16 of Isaiah 49, God said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms, plural, of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. Now, we may forget, but God never will forget. And he's reminded any time, Brother Danny, he starts to work, not just a hand, but our name. I didn't know they was going to sing, I know my name is written there. Man, on the palms of his hand, every time he looks down, he's reminded of me. He's reminded of you. He will not forget. Now, say all that to get you to Luke 24. Jesus has told his disciples, I'm going to be killed, Matthew 16, 21, but I will rise again the third day. He told his followers, he taught his disciples. But here as we get to this text, in Luke 24, there's a lot of folks that begin to forget. The women forgot. We know that Peter forgot. The apostles forgot. We know Thomas forgot. Those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they forgot. Jesus had plainly told them that he would be killed, he would die, and he would rise again the third day. Well, we notice our text in Luke 24, again, one of my favorite passages on the resurrection. Now, when you see the drama, Friday and Saturday or Sunday, whenever you come, that is a compilation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also the book of Acts. And there is harmony in the Gospels, and some of there's different accounts of that's laid out, but boy, they harmonize together. I'm going to tell you, but Luke 24 and verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, They came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. So here they are. They've come to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on that first Easter morning, on the Lord's Day, Sunday morning. The Bible said they were perplexed. They were confused. They didn't understand. Well, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't hide that thing in the corner. He told His followers, He told His disciples, He said, man, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life for the sins of the world, but I'm going to rise again the third day. They didn't have a clue as they came to the sepulchre that Easter morning. The Bible said it was perplexed. These two men stood by in shining garments. Look at verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. That's the victory shout of the child of God today. You say, preacher, I've had a tough week. I've had a tough month. I've had a tough year. I've had a tough decade. Well, guess what, friend? If you're saved by the grace of God, victory is yours already, because Jesus ain't dead. We don't serve a statue. We don't serve a stump. We serve a risen, living Savior tonight that got up over death, hell, and the grave. And He wasn't in that tomb. He had rose again just like He said. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 6, He is not here but is risen. Remember. Now, why did He say remember? Because they forgot. They forgot. Now, listen, before we criticize them too much, we've made out the same stuff they are, Brother Allen. The same exact stuff. These angels said, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. What did He speak? Go back to Matthew 16:21. That He'd be killed, and on the third day He would rise again. Verse 7. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8 said, and they remembered His words. But they forgot about Him for a space of time, didn't they? The women that came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus, we see they remembered His words. But look at verse 9. And returned from the sepulchre, that's the women, and told all these things unto the 11. Why is there 11? Well, Judas is dead at this point. It's the 11 disciples. And to all the rest. So they went back and told. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Look at verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They were there on that day, Brother Kevin, in Matthew 16, when the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again the third day. Now, it's been 3 days of that Easter morning, man, He rose again from the grave, and the ladies get that message from the angels. They come back, and we see here that the Bible said in verse 11, and their words seem to be as idle tales, and they believe them not. Why wouldn't they believe them? Because they forgot what Jesus told them. They forgot what Jesus told them. I'd say this before I go any further. We always going to get in trouble when we forget what Jesus told us. We always going to get in trouble when we forget what the Bible tells us. Oftentimes I repeat myself over and over again because we learn by repetition. And I believe that study, there's some truth to that. That man, 50% within just a little amount of time, folks have already forgot about what's been said, what they've been instructed, even from the Word of God. Well, notice as you read on, what about Peter? Verse 12, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. I mean, he's standing in front of the tomb. You'll see when Peter and John run, another passage tells us, and that's what you'll see portrayed in the Easter drama. And John, he comes in, and we see that Peter was right there, the stone been rolled out. They looked inside. And they seen where the napkin was laid and where his clothes were folded up in a place. And he's scratching his head. He can't figure out what's going on. Why is that, Brother Danny? He forgot. This was the same man when Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say, well, Jeremiah. Some say, Elias. But he said, thou art the Christ, the chosen of God. This is the man that heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. yet he forgot. Notice verse 13. We're introduced to these two Emmaus disciples, and the Bible said in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. So if you can do the math, depends on what account you go to, but about 7.5 miles. Now, you think about a mile is 5,280 feet. Well, 1 furlong is about 1/8 of a mile, or 660 feet, or 220 yards. Now, I don't expect you to retain a bit of that. I tell you, it's hard for me to retain that, but you do it here, these furlongs, that's how far it was. So, bottom line, about 7.5 miles away from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. Now, we think about the word reasoning. Reasoning has to do with our mind, with our mental capabilities. That's just like Isaiah 1. That's why God said, come now, let us reason together. You know what a man, woman, boy, or girl ought to do, especially when you witness this week and with the drama and you visualize that? You ought to reason within yourself. Man, have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Because if you have not, friend, there is a real, literal burning hell where you'll spend all eternity. But it ain't got to be that way. Thank God Jesus paid it all your sin debt, so you and I could be set free from the chains and the shackles and the bondage of sin. But you think about this, and it's a good thing to reason. They're reasoning, so they're thinking about the events. They've heard the women that have came, and they've told about the empty tomb and these two men standing by in shining garments said he would rise again, and they still don't get it. Verse number 16, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So they're counting the days, man. They know it's the third day. They were witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said, that he exactly what they're saying unto him. That, hey, the third day I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be delivered up by the chief priests and the Pharisees, but I'm going to rise again the third day. And they confess as they're reasoning together, this is the third day. Now notice as you read on. In verse number, where did we get to? Verse number 23. 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, now watch this, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You see, they were blinded by the fact that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, but instantly they remembered something. They remembered that Last Supper. They remembered partaking of that meal. And something that Jesus did, their eyes were open, but they had forgot in just a short amount of time. Now look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So you got these accounts of the women that forgot, but they remembered his words. We see Peter and the apostles that they thought they were idle tales, and Peter even went in and seen the tomb that was empty. The two Emmaus Road disciples, they said, man, it's the third day and Jesus has been crucified. And he had told them straightforward that I'll be crucified, I will be killed, but I will rise again the third day. What about Thomas? You can go over to John 20, the best account of this, that, and you'll see some of this in our drama as well. John chapter number 20, verse number 24. We know that Jesus has appeared unto his disciples in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now Thomas was there on that day, Brother Dennis, when Jesus said, hey, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified on the third day. But he said, man, unless I can see it, I'm not going to believe. Well, verse number 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know, this physical eye has never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But boy, the eye of faith has. God said, man, blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Here are people, the women, Peter and the apostles and the Emmaus Road disciples and then Thomas individually. We understand that they all forgot. But I want to show you something. This is what got my attention. I want you to flip over with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27, and I want you to see this. I'll give you just a second to get there. Matthew 27 is where we're going to look. I want to show you this because it's important to get this. Here's the people that Jesus has addressed. It's worth hitting again. Matthew 16, 21. He said, fellas, I'm going to be killed. And his disciples, he began at that point, after that great confession of Peter, thou art the Christ, he began to tell them, hey, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified, the chief priests and the elders and the Pharisees, they're going to condemn me, but I'm going to rise again the third day. But all, every one of them, his followers, forgot about him. Brother Danny, his followers, they didn't have a clue. And he told them straight up. But I want to show you something. Matthew 27, in verse number 62. Matthew 27 and verse number 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priest and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Now, I've read over that scripture tons of times. Read over that account tons of times. But God just spoke to my heart about that when I saw that the enemies of God were the only ones that remembered what Jesus said. That got me to thinking, Brother Danny. What have we forgotten that our enemy ain't forgotten? What are some things you and I forget that our enemy is well aware of? We understand that the scribes and the Pharisees here and the chief priests in verse 62, they were the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they remembered when his followers couldn't even remember what the Lord Jesus Christ had said. Well, what does our enemy remember that we forget. What about this? That our enemy, and I'm talking about the devil now, that he is a deceiver. Sometimes we tend to forget that. You say, well, I always believe that Satan is a deceiver. Why do we fall in the same pitfalls over and over and over again? Because we forget. Yeah, man. When temptations come, now God makes a way to escape when those temptations come, but sometimes we give in to those temptations. When we do, that means that we forgot that, hey, the devil lays those traps, he lays those snares right in front of us, but he is a deceiver, the Bible tells us. In Ephesians 6 and verse 11, we talk about the whole armor of God. He should put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles has to do with the deceiving characteristics of none other than Satan himself, the devil. And he is a deceiver. Revelation 12 and verse 9 said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Man, he's busy today deceiving folks. Some folks won't come to Christ. You know why? Because the deceiver deceives them. He throws something up like this. Well, you're just as good as this one, and you're just as good as this one. Well, listen, our good works has nothing to do with salvation. Man, the Jewish nation went about to establish their own righteousness, and those that try to establish their own righteousness, thinking they're good without way, they're bad. Friend, you'll never get to heaven that way. There's only one way, and that's through and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. But the devil deceives. Well, you're a pretty good old boy. You're a pretty good old girl. Listen, there's good old boys and good old girls dying every day and splitting hell wide open. Amen. Dying apart from Christ. Sure, but see, he's a deceiver and he deceives. And he'll lay traps in front of every one of us. Every, regardless of your age. Now listen, if you're younger, you may be under more temptation than others. But listen, all of us face that deception. We better understand. We better not ever forget that he's a deceiver. But he is. And we forget, that's when we trip up and we mess up. Because here's the thing. If you're saved, he cannot get your soul. I say to God be the glory. Once your name gets written down, it's there. But he can't get your soul. But he can get your testimony. He can get your influence. He can damage your credibility as a child of God. And we better not forget that, hey, the devil is a deceiver. Sometimes we do. What about this? We need to remember that not only is the devil our enemy, he is a deceiver, but he is a defeated foe. Let that sink in. I want you to retain this one now. He is a defeated foe. We read this the other morning, I guess it's on Sunday morning, Genesis 3:15, the first prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ conquering the enemy. Genesis 3:15, and I will put in, of course, God was cursing the serpent. He said in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. That her seed is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to Galatians 4, again verse number 4 and 5. When the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. And that was the seed in which he came through the virgin birth. The Bible goes on to say, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That bruising his heel was a reference to Calvary. But listen, when he rose again the third day, he was going to crush his head. He's a defeated foe. But why is it? If Satan is a defeated foe, and he is, if Satan is a defeated foe, and he is, why are so many of God's people not living in victory? You say, preacher, I'm in victory. Well, praise the Lord. But there's things that come and knock us down, don't they? And sometimes we forget just which side we're on. Man, I think about that song our choir gets to sing every once in a while. I'm on the winning side, praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side of the day that I yoked up by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I got birthed into the family of God. My hands got into the palms, plural, of the Lord. There in Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16, we see that. Man, thank God I was given victory. But along life's journeys, things sort of trip us up, don't they? You can get discouraged. You think about David, a man after God's own heart. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you have to do that. Well, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Listen, when the enemy attacks against you, don't forget that he is a defeated foe. Now, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no match. But I want to remind you again, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. But he's a defeated foe. But sometimes we forget that, and we live in defeat. And we got the woe is me attitude. Hey, man, I ain't trying to be mean. I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm just being honest. Sometimes we get the woe is me. The world's against me. Everybody's against me. Well, man, listen, if you know Christ, you're on the winning side. Amen. Don't forget that Satan is a deceiver. He ain't forgot. That's what he does every day. Don't forget that he's a defeated foe, because he is. But think about this. We also know, and sometimes we forget, his destiny. Where's he going to spend eternity? Well, the Bible's pretty clear. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. Listen, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. See, the devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent like God is. But he knows that his time is short. He reaps havoc as much as possible. He loves destroying homes, by the way. You know that, right? He loves destroying lives, in fact, even nations. Sure does. Through the wrong leadership, years of it, by the way. That happens. Where'd that come from? It's got its origin in Satan. But we know his destiny. That ought to encourage you. We ought not ever forget that. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. I love this. Of course, verse 1. And a lot of folks don't like to use the word shut up, but it is a biblical term. You go to Revelation chapter number 20, about verse number 1 and 2, it says that the Lord shut him up. The devil, that is. Shut him up. Look it up. I'm telling you right. But in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. His destiny is in a lake of fire. He trips us up all the time. Sometimes we forget the tactics, and the Bible talks about us not being ignorant of his devices. But man, we forget. We're such a forgetful people. We forget about things. As Sister Savannah comes, you know, I think about the Lord Jesus in Matthew 16:21, Brother Danny. Said, fellas, I just want you to know, after that great confession of faith, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the chosen of God. You're the Messiah. Just want you to know I'm going to be killed. Just want you to know that I'm going to raise again the third day. Yet you go to Luke 24, the women came to the tomb that morning, Brother Randy. Wouldn't expect nothing. Peter and the apostles seemed as idle tales, Brother Matt, as the women came back. Peter even seen with his own eye the empty tomb. He still didn't get it. The two on the Emmaus Road, man, they forgot. Thomas, I mean, he said, except I can see. If I can't feel it, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't handle it, I ain't going to believe. Now, wait a minute. These were folks, get this, that forsook all and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Forsook all. They had demonstrated great faith. Yet they forgot. I got to remind you, they were made out of the same stuff you and I were. His followers didn't remember, but his enemies did. This, we better remember that the devil is a deceiver. He wants to reap. The moment you forget that, that's when you're going to fall. Yeah, man. You better not forget that he's a defeated foe. Don't live in misery. Don't live in defeat. Thank God Jesus gives you victory over our arch enemy. But remember his destiny. His destiny, he's going to spend in a place called the lake of fire. Man, and think about this. You say, preacher, again, I've had a tough week. I've had a tough few days. I've had a tough month. Had a tough year, tough decade. Listen, if you're saved, you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven one day, man, to be in the presence of the Lord, where there's no sickness and no pain, where there's no tears, no more heartache. We'll be over there on the other side. The devil wants to keep us in misery. He wants to keep us defeated because we sure ain't going to be shedding any light to this lost and dying world if we're just as miserable as they are. But thank God he can infuse us with some strength. But we need to remember some things and don't forget. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word tonight. God, I've done my best, Lord, to empty myself of the message of the hour. And God, you sure did help me. May it just have been for me. Maybe nobody else got a thing out of this, but Lord, you sure did help me. Help me to be reminded, Lord, not to forget. Lord, of the benefits you give us, help us not to forget the enemy, how he attacks us. God, I'm so grateful for Calvary. So grateful that our name is written there. So glad that in the palms of your hand is the born again, redeemed children of God. Father, I pray that you'd take your word. I pray to fall on good, fertile soil. There's one here tonight or someone listening that's unsaved. God, may tonight be the night of salvation. Would you encourage somebody that's defeated. God, help them get a fresh glimpse. Lord, we're on the winning side through Jesus Christ. We'll give you thanks. We'll give you praise for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Even heads are bowed and eyes are closed. A few moments.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road, in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51:17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.